There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. This is Derek Peterson. I've got some jaw pain this week. It really started acting up on like Wednesday night. It woke me up in the middle of the night, so I can't talk very much without there being some pain. So we're doing something different this week. Brandon Vogel has me on his podcast, the IED Preview Podcast, which returns this week, or did return this week, after a brief hiatus when the 2020 season ended. He was kind enough to have me on his podcast. We previewed the spring game in a really fun way. It was a great conversation. We're just going to take that podcast and we're going to put that on my feed this week. So if you have not subscribed to the I-80 Preview Podcast, go do that now. If you haven't listened to his podcast before, you'll get a nice preview of it now. You should be listening to it whenever it comes back for the 2021 season. And I will talk to you guys next week.
We're back after a bit of a hiatus for this podcast that previews football games. Turns out football games are sort of an essential ingredient for that. We have one this week, Nebraska's annual spring game. Fans will be in the stands. The team will be on the field. And really, what more do you need? We'll get into that. You're listening to the IED Preview Podcast. I am Hale Varsity Managing Editor Brandon Vogel. And let's talk some spring football. We're breaking new ground here today. The first ever guest of the I-80 Preview Podcast. The honor goes to you, Hale Varsity staff writer Derek Peterson. Would you like to give a Oscars acceptance speech since we're just coming off the Oscars?
Well, I did not watch the Oscars, but I would like to point out that I have now been on your podcast and Greg Smith's podcast. So in the hierarchy of Hale Varsity co-worker friends, yourself and Greg have created some pretty significant distance between Jacob Padill and Aaron Sorensen.
That's good. That's good to know. We'll find out. We'll find out how soon they listen to this from when they bring it up. Thanks for joining me, Derek. Slightly Oscars related note. Have you ever seen the movie No Country for Old Men?
No, it's on my list. And every time it pops up on like social media is like one of the best movies, or my dad talks about it or something like that. I'm like, I need to watch this. There are a bunch of just, incredible films that have been made that I've never seen, and they're on my list. But you know, like last night I watched Endgame for the 15th time, so like I think my movie taste is just really, really poor.
Are you aware of Anton Chigurh, Javier Bardem's character? Have you seen any No Country for Old Men GIFs? Nothing. Okay, we're starting totally from scratch here. I bring this up because the spring game presents some challenges in terms of previewing, at least previewing how I like to do it. Normally, I just have an internal dialogue with myself about all of the stats that I care a lot about, and most people probably don't. Well, there are no stats. There's only one team. They're playing themselves. So that doesn't work. So I came up with this idea of we are going to take a kind of choose your fighter approach. I'm going to present Derek with five sets of two options, two players, and he is going to choose one. Derek, when I sprung this idea on him, asked me, well, what is it based on? Who's going to have the better spring game? Who has the higher long-term ceiling? And I said all of those things, which brings me back to No Country for Old Men. There's a famous scene. Anton Chigurh, Javier Bardem's character, is like death incarnate. He's a hitman and he's psycho. He walks into a West Texas gas station. The lonely owner operator there has just watched death itself kind of walk into his gas station, and Javier Bardem, who has a pageboy haircut, looks totally crazy, offers him a coin flip, or tells him to call it. And the guy's like, I need to know what I'm putting up. I don't know what I'm calling heads or tails for. But that's the whole point. Javier Bardem either has a like coin flipping fetish, although I think it's a fate fetish where I'm not going to decide. I'm just going to flip this coin and it will decide. And it's a great scene. You need to watch the movie. Yes, you're correct. But Point is, that's the vibe we're going for today, Derek. Why are we doing this? Why not? What are the parameters? There are no parameters. So I'm going to jump right into it with maybe the biggest one. This is your first choose your fighter, Derek. Omar Manning, Samori Toure. Pick one.
This is not the toughest one, but these were all tough in their own way because there are no parameters in terms of potential. Like, I saw firsthand how freaking awesome Omar Manning can be when he's on the field, when he's healthy, when they're throwing it at him. Granted, there was half the time there wasn't a defense in front of him, but still. So like, if we get to see a healthy Omar Manning for 12 games, I'm very, very interested in what that looks like on an actual field. Cause this dude was the top JUCO wide receiver in the class of 2020 for a reason. That being said, when he's going up against Samori Toure, it's hard to pick potential over actual production, you know, regardless of I don't think either of them will play a ton in the spring game. So for me, more it's like, who's going to have the better season, who's going to be more reliable, who has more potential, things like that. Like, Toure was a first team All-American at the FCS level. And I don't think that that should just be written off because, oh, he was an FCS player. They play good football. He had 303 receiving yards in a playoff game, took a Randy Moss record in a playoff game. So he's done it at a big level, at a high level that Nebraska has not been on. He had 87 catches for almost 1500 yards as a junior. You don't get that kind of production by just being a so-so ho-hum player at the FCS level. I think he's a really good player. Will he have 1500 yards in Nebraska's offense this season? Probably not. His production is largely going to be contingent on how good Nebraska's quarterback play is, which would then be an extension of how good Nebraska's offensive line play is. But I still think, like, somebody asked us, you have 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns to distribute amongst pass catchers. Like, how are you distributing it? And I said, I could see Samori Toure getting 1,100 yards and like 12 touchdowns or something like that. I could totally see him taking Stanley Morgan's 1,000-yard record. So for me, just because he's done it and he's done it at a high level, and not necessarily saying that FCS football is the same as Big Ten football, because he said himself when he got here, the corners that he was going against at the FCS are not the same as the corners that he's facing in Nebraska's practice already. So I understand that, but he's still done it at a high level and he's produced at a high level. And so for me, like, I'm excited about that dude, particularly because he's going to be playing in the slot. I think he's probably my pick here.
Yeah, I think I would go the same for many of the same reasons. There was a good article recently from, I didn't write down who wrote it, but it was from 24/7 Sports about why more and more teams are putting their most dangerous guy, quote unquote dangerous guy, in the slot. And that's seems to be the plan for Samori. Omar Manning, I think it's important. It's I hope we get to see him. I should note, we're recording this before we even know the final rosters for the spring game or have heard kind of the last pregame word from Scott Frost. I hope Omar Manning plays. You got to see him in person. About 4,000 other people got to see him in person at that open practice on April 17th. I think that was the first time I'd actually seen him on the practice field for Nebraska. And I only saw it via photos, but even those kind of jumped off the page. It made me think, I'm like, oh, so this is the, like, why he was the most asked about player in the country to only play 5 snaps in 2020. Because he looks different. And Toure's a different guy in that regard, but he's done it. And, you know, it's going to be a jump up size wise, I think, is probably the key, which you mentioned, but it's a really high level of football. Those Montana teams were in the playoffs. And we'll have another FCS guy coming up a little bit later here to choose from. So let's move to defense. I debated which one to do first, but we're going to go with the secondary. Nebraska's got 2 starting safeties back, but I think you're going to get a pretty good rotation there. So your next pick one, safety Noah Pola-Gates or Miles Farmer?
If you're taking what Travis Fisher says at face value, he's got like 3.5 starters at safety. And I would tend to take what Travis Fisher says at face value. This was the hardest one for me. So fitting that we do this second. I don't know, because I'm very intrigued by Noah Pola-Gates. He's a smaller dude, but I've seen him hit some people pretty seriously. I'm not worried about his mentality or his kind of edginess to play safety. But there's Miles Farmer, who got into a game for like 5 minutes and then had 2 interceptions and then didn't play again.
Yeah.
And this was a guy, like, you and I have talked about this before. You are super high on Miles Farmer. You always have been super high on Miles Farmer. And as he's sort of been here, I've been like, man, I am very interested in seeing what this dude looks like on the field. I'm even more so. I think this spring game presents an opportunity for Nebraska to do some stuff with Cam Taylor-Britt, move him around. And because Travis Fisher tends to cross train all of his guys everywhere, I wonder how much like corner Miles Farmer has played. I wonder how much nickel Farmer has played. I mean, he feels like a guy who might be able to go down into that role. Like if you have Isaac Gifford playing that role, Farmer is what, 6'2"? He's a bigger dude. I feel like he might be able to go down and play some snaps in that role. They've just got a lot of guys who provide them with a lot of versatility and flexibility in the secondary to move pieces around. And I think because of Farmer's size relative to Pola-Gates, he gives you just maybe like 1%, 1 or 2% more flexibility to move him around. And I think when you've got like 2 guys at safety in Dismuke and Williams, who if they're healthy, they're going to be on the field a ton. I think Farmer being able to move around sort of gives him maybe a little bit more opportunity come the season. But if we're talking about just like this spring game, who am I most interested in? It might be Noah Pola-Gates, because we've already seen some of Farmer. We haven't seen much of Pola-Gates. But if the question is like, who's going to have the better season or who has the higher ceiling or things like that, it might be Farmer. I don't know. This one's tough. This one feels like just such a toss up for me. It's a coin flip, to go back to your initial analogy.
Well done. Yeah, we haven't seen enough of either guy. If I have to pick one, I'm sticking with Farmer. I've been on him since he signed. In fact, I think
shocked
for the Northwestern preview this podcast last fall. I think he was one of my 3 guys to watch because, it was apparent he was going to play at that point because of suspensions elsewhere for Nebraska, one half suspensions. So I got something right one time at least, but I think you're right. The thing that intrigues me about Gates is most of his contribution has been on special teams so far. And I think you're right. He's a little bit more of a prototypical safety. I shouldn't say he's more of a prototype. He's not quite as versatile as Farmer looks right now. So I like that kind of grind it mentality that you have to play as much as he has on special teams. And I think we'll get a good look at him in the spring game. Farmer, I don't know how long of a leash he'll have. He's still coming back from injury. He's been practicing. Mm-hmm. So Farmer's my guy forever and ever. But I think you're right in terms of this coming game. It's going to be good to get a good look at Noah, just because he was a highly touted guy. He was a very big late get for Nebraska in that class, and he's done the dirty work so far. So now it's time to see what else he's ready for.
Well, the thing that's interesting too is Braxton Clark has not had live reps this spring, or at least he hasn't had many that we've heard of. And, you know, like you said, we're recording this before we know. I don't know if he'll play a ton in the spring, if at all. So if he's out, then and Quentin Newsome is like your first team guy, who else is at corner? You've got Nadab Joseph on one side. Who else is at corner? Probably Tamon Lynham. But there might be an opportunity for one of those guys to slide down a corner and play there. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe.
Yeah, the uncertainty around Clark is why we do not have a Clark Newsom pick one among our selection, because I'm just not quite sure how far along he is. But that's another really interesting one, I think.
Full health, who would you choose there?
Clark, I think, but it seems like Newsom has certainly made up. He's made the most of kind of having a little bit of runway here this spring, based on what the coaches are saying about him. So is that your impression?
Yeah, I'd kind of be right in that same spot. Yeah.
Number three on the list. We got to do it. I tried to avoid it, but we got to do it. Quarterback. Got Henrik Harburg and Logan Smothers. But first, we're going to break for halftime, because that's a thing we do on this show.
Hi there, everyone. I'm meteorologist Rusty Dawkins with Hail Varsity for the I-80 Preview Podcast. And we have the Husker spring game coming up this Saturday in Lincoln. It's on May 1st, and the start time's around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this is the time of year where high temperatures are usually around 70 degrees, but, well, this is Nebraska, so, of course, that's not going to happen. What we're going to see are temperatures closer to, oh, say late June, early July. High pressure is going to be in control. Now, what does that mean? That means lots of sunshine, and we still need something to warm us up. What is it going to take? Well, it's going to be some wind. We're going to see a south to southwest wind at 15 to 30 miles per hour, and that's going to warm us up into the middle 80s. So we've got a lot of heat. We've got a lot of sunshine, so we should be drinking plenty of water to stay hydrated and wearing the sunscreen. Probably not something we've even thought about yet this year, but if you're out in the sun for 3 or 4 hours, probably going to need it. So here's your hour-by-hour forecast. By 11 a.m., if you're just kind of doing something before the spring game starts, mostly sunny, temperatures in the lower and middle 70s, and that southwest wind already starting to pick up at 10 to 20 miles per hour. By 1 o'clock, when everything gets started, mostly sunny, lower 80s, maybe even the middle 80s in some spots. Southwest wind at 10 to 25 miles per hour, probably gusting a little bit higher than that. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, mostly sunny skies, temperatures in the middle 80s with a southwest wind at 10, 20, maybe 30 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Rusty Dawkins with Hail Varsity for the I-80 Preview Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed the halftime festivities. Derek, we left off at quarterback. I know you've had some thoughts in the past. I'm sure you still have thoughts. I hope so. Otherwise, this is going to be a bad segment. Have those changed? Pick one, Harburg or Smothers.
I have no thoughts. My brain is actually the scene in SpongeBob where everybody's running around with filing cabinets on fire. We threw out his name. Every season of SpongeBob got added to Paramount Plus, and so my wife and I have sort of been reliving childhood years through that. Did not realize that that show aired in 1999, so I was quite young when it first came out. I will never come on this podcast again now, as I've brought up Marvel and SpongeBob. Quarterback, I lean towards Henrik as the number two guy, because I think they're on equal footing in terms of experience. I understand Logan was here for an entire year. It was a weird year. He didn't have a traditional kind of practice schedule throughout his first year. He didn't play in a game. Henrik comes in, and I thought Henrik was really hurt by COVID throughout the recruitment process. I think he would have been a little bit bigger if COVID hadn't been a thing. I don't think it would have been as easy for Nebraska to get him. I know several other people were very, very interested in him at the Power Five level. He showed up, and all reports have suggested that he surprised them with just how clean he throws the football, the mechanics with which he throws the football. And, you know, Greg Smith and I were there for that open practice, and one of the things that Greg pointed out was just he throws with really nice anticipation. That sometimes you don't really expect to see from a first year player, and he'll throw a ball where the window's not open until it's halfway to its target. And you're like, oh, well, he's got pretty good vision. He still makes freshman errors. He still overthrows some people. He put a couple balls in the dirt in front of guys. But just in terms of just pure mechanics, like Henrik I don't, there's something about Logan Smothers' throw that just feels like he's pushing it a little bit. And perhaps they still have some work to do there with the mechanics. Now he's a really good athlete. We saw that as well. When he takes off, he can really go. And he obviously has a year advantage in terms of just being in the playbook over Heinrich. But at the end of the day, like, I think this offense, you just have to have a much better passing game than Nebraska has had for it to operate the way that Frost wants it to operate. And I think that Heinrich can probably do that right now a little bit better than what Smothers can do right now. I don't know that the ceilings of the two guys are drastically different,
yeah,
or that far apart, but I still think, and I thought this coming in, like, I know several people, and this bothered him, several people wrote him off as just sort of a filler, a scholarship filler, a local guy that was a good story, didn't really have a chance. And I didn't think that at all after watching him. I thought this guy looks like a Power Five quarterback. So, you know, to be at this stage where we are, he's still got a long way to go, but I'm not surprised to see him really kind of firmly in that competition for the number two spot. I think he can win the number two spot.
I'll admit to being a little bit surprised, and not because I thought he was filler or, you know, a strange COVID year and he was the quarterback they could get. I'm surprised he's in this conversation now, just because he is coming from class C2 football in Nebraska, and, like, no disrespect at all, that's what I played in high school. Like, so, you know, I understand, like, well, I don't understand how big that jump is, but I know where the starting point was, at least 20 plus years ago. So it's also probably drastically different. This one's tough. And because it's pre-spring game, I'm going to stick with Smothers, because I want to see Harburg. I want to see him throw. Because everything has been so glowing, and you're right, he has come in, I think, and surprised even the coaches with where he's at. It's just, it's a hurdle I can't get over until I get to see him a little bit for myself. And I, you know, really, I haven't seen much of Smothers either. So it's mostly an experience play on my part, because everything about him, and there wasn't a ton, he didn't come up often, you know, it was just a strange year, but was pretty glowing as well. So I could see it'll be really interesting to see how we come out of this spring game, because I could see Logan Smothers having some, like, Luke McCaffrey like plays, just the athleticism that he has. What's that?
Oh God.
Yeah, careful what you wish for. But I could also see the same thing with Harburg. Like, if what the coaches are saying, you know, plays out on Saturday, and a lot of things could impact that. And given everything everyone has heard leading up to it, maybe he comes out as, like, the hot new thing. So I think this one's totally up for grabs. You know, your point about the passing offense, I think, was a really good one. You know, we kind of, or at least I enter this season looking at, if Nebraska has to keep running its quarterback as much as it has, it's a problem. And it's been a little bit of a problem, not because those plays don't work. They do. It's that the others haven't followed along with it. So, you know, if you had a guy, and I know Harburg is an incredible athlete as well. He's just taller, who is more comfortable passing more often than, you know, limiting, if you had to limit the amount of QB run, I don't know if that's the worst thing. I guess that's my overall point.
Yeah, a couple of points. I think, you know, another reason why it's going to be super important for that passing game to take off, why it's going to be important for them not to run Adrian as much, is because, you know, we're talking about the number two battle being tight, but the drop off between Adrian and those guys in the number two battle is significant. I'm not going to deny that. So you don't want to lose that guy. Another point that I wanted to make, I wonder too, you know, Manning versus Touré was the first matchup we talked about. I took Touré as a safer pick. I think Pola Gates versus Farmer. I think Farmer was the safer pick. This one definitely is the upset pick of the two of them, probably for me going with Heinrich. Have you wondered why maybe the talk around Logan has been more muted than it has with Heinrich? Is this something that do you feel like it's been more muted? First of all, are you curious that we haven't heard more about the progress that Logan has made, or maybe it's just a situation where we're asking about Heinrich because he's the new guy and we're not asking as much about Logan?
I think it's a little bit of that. But when I think back about, you know, what I can recall hearing about Smothers from a practice this spring, the first thing is we're working on the throwing motion, you know, which we know is kind of Mario Verduzco's life's work, how to throw a football. And I don't say that facetiously, like seriously, that it is. So it's, you know, it's not a surprise that that comes up pretty often with him. And, you know, maybe a stray, like he looked really good today, but it hasn't been anything in depth. I think some of that is a little bit, you know, the saying is that the most popular guy in the room is always the backup quarterback, but I'm starting to wonder if that doesn't transfer down, because if we started with a pecking order of Martinez, Smothers, Harburg, and Martinez, by all accounts, looks really good this spring, then we've just moved on to the backup's backup, who is now the most popular guy in the room.
Yeah. I think too, one thing that's worth pointing out is that Matt Masker has been a help for Heinrich just because of that previous relationship that they had. And all accounts are that Adrian has been really, really great for both of those young quarterbacks, just as somebody that obviously has the job that they both want to have at some point, but him helping them sort of understand the offense and being a sort of a soundboard for questions.
If Nebraska had to play a real game tomorrow and Adrian Martinez wasn't available for whatever reason, how much does Masker factor into that discussion? Because I know there are some people who think he'd be the first choice. And I mean, I know there's a long way to go before the fall, I know, but just another guy that you don't hear much about. That one you can probably chalk up to, he's just not a scholarship guy.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he was the first choice if they had to play tomorrow, just because when Verduzco talks about him, he talks about a guy with a big arm who is a tough Nebraska kid. I will use nice terminology that Verduzco doesn't necessarily use, PG terminology, and talks about just the control he has of the offense. So yeah, it'd probably be Masker.
Let's flip to back to defense. This is one of my favorite ones, but we're going to talk about inside linebacker. Pick one, Nick Henrich or Chris Kolarevich. I hope I said his last name right. We're doing this so early, I haven't even seen the pronunciation guide for this
game. Yeah, I'm going to switch up my methodology with this one and go with Nick. By most accounts, Kolarevich is going to be a regular presence in the defense this year. He's just another one of those guys that comes from a good FCS program and he's played a lot of football. Seems like a guy that Barrett Rude can trust right away. You know, as long as he sort of picks up the nuances of their defensive scheme. That being said, Henrich was a 4-star guy and a top player in the state. He said something interesting, that he learned the defense better playing outside linebacker. And that sort of move to the outside really helped him sort of solidify his understanding of what he was supposed to do. He's been too hurt through his first 2 years. We haven't really gotten to see like what exactly is Nick Henrich. If he's completely healthy, I'm going to pick Henrich because I want to know what he is. And I think like the pathway for him to significant playing time this season is probably pretty tough. It's probably a few roadblocks in the way. You know, we don't know how much Will Honus is going to play in the spring game. So Nick might get an extended look in the spring game, probably will get an extended look in the spring game. But when we're talking about the fall, you've got Honus, if he's healthy, you've got Kolarevich, who will probably play a ton, just because, you know, you don't add like a one and done guy like that, potentially one and done guy like that, if he's going to sit on the bench. And then Luke Reimer, who's super athletic. So Henrich like could potentially be sort of an odd man out, which I don't think he will be, but I kind of just want to know, like, what is he? Because they bounced him outside to outside linebacker because there just wasn't a ton of snaps to be had at inside linebacker when Colin Miller was in the picture. And now he's back at inside linebacker and Chris Kolarovic is in the picture now. And so if he's going to stick it out at inside linebacker, I feel like that probably has to happen this season because they've also recruited guys on the outside that they really like. And so I think he's plenty talented enough to find a regular role at inside linebacker. And if Barrett Rood wants to rotate four guys in those two spots throughout the season, I think he will absolutely do that if he feels comfortable with the four that he has. And so if Nick is fully healthy, I'm curious kind of what help playing outside linebacker can provide him as he moves back inside and what kind of help, you know, learning from a guy like Kolarovic this spring or learning from Honus can have on his game. I think this is a low key big off season for him.
I would agree. Nebraska's inside linebacker spot with both of these guys in the mix. And, you know, if you had to pencil out a depth chart today, you'd probably just say Honus and Reimer and forget it. And those guys have definitely earned, you know, the benefit of the doubt here. But I think you've got two guys behind them that, like, I'm super high on both of them. I will take Kolarovic here. For a lot of the reasons you mentioned, it comes from a great FCS program. They obviously saw something in him. It's a program this coaching staff is familiar with. Verduzco was there. Shenander was there. I mean, Frost was there for a little bit before he rocketed up the assistant coaching charts. But the thing I think he's freaky athletic. Like, it's, you know, seeing some of his testing numbers, while both here, but also seeing, you know, cause when FCS didn't play in the fall, so he didn't have much of a choice. He could have played this spring, but you know, he was getting some like low level, like he's at least on the deep, deep draft lists. And I mean, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this is an FCS guy who like got by on guts and try hard, like, no, I think he's a really, really good and athletic and physical player. I see a lot of the same things with Henrich. And, you know, if we put parameters on it of whose ceiling is potentially higher, you'd probably take the one who has more years still to play, but it is it's a big spring for Nick. It's kind of strange to think, well, he missed that first spring, even though he enrolled early, and then there was no spring for anyone last year. And he's still like 27 tackles last year, played really well. The outside linebacker thing's interesting. You know, I guess you're probably asked to do a few more things out there. You just got to be a little bit more situationally aware of where teams are lining up and who you're matching up with. You know, a lot of inside linebacker, I'm not saying this is all of it, of course, but is filling a gap. And really standing up against the run. So Nebraska's got kind of I think, again, with these two, we got to see, which we'll get a start at the spring game. But I don't remember how long it's been since Nebraska's had a true, like, inside linebacker who was in contention even for, like, first team all Big Ten. It wouldn't surprise me if one of these guys got there. And I don't know which one of the four it is. And that's saying a lot because the Big Ten is like a deep, deep linebacker league. You just look at it and there's so many. You look at the all Big Ten teams, which I've been doing a lot lately, has been preparing for the yearbook and opponent previews. And there's always so much talent there. Like, it seems like every team has 100 tackle guy, not last year, but typically.
Well, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald's son, his pride and joy, Patty Fisher, is gone. So the spot on the first team is opened up for an inside linebacker. And to your point about athleticism, like, Henrich has to have athleticism to go kick outside. Kolarovic played outside linebacker for Northern Iowa. He made a point to bring that up. He's like, yeah, I played inside and outside for them. You got to be athletic to be able to do that, even at the FCS level, because you're going out and you're covering guys and route concepts. And the other thing too, with with both of these guys is like, this is potentially a super deep room because you've got the Wyndon kid coming in from Hawaii. You've got Randolph Kapai, who I really like. You've got Seth Malcolm. Garrett Snodgrass still kind of puttering around. Jackson Hanna's in there as well. I think, you know, and this is why, you know, Kolarovich pick is completely fine. One of the reasons I went with Henrich is, you know, like I said, because he's got three guys, I think, in front of him that he probably feels like pressure to try to close the gap, or maybe not, maybe there's not a gap, but, you know, close the gap between those three guys, because he might also feel like there are some dudes lighting a fire right under his feet at the bottom of the ladder. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. It's what Nebraska wouldn't give for that sort of depth at outside linebacker, but I guess that's a separate topic for a separate podcast. All right, let's wrap up. We'll go back to offense because everybody loves points. But this one will be interesting. I'm not even sure where to slot this other than, well, they're running backs, literally. But two kind of stars of the spring might be a little, maybe a little strong, but guys that gotten talked about a lot. I'm talking about walk-on, who I know the coaches basically don't consider a walk-on in Yaquez Yant, and true freshman Gabe Irvin Jr. Irvin Jr. has missed some time in the weeks leading up to this. Who are you taking in that battle?
Yeah, this is like the competition for the Wyatt Mazur Brody Belt Spring of the Year Award at Nebraska.
Why is it always at Nebraska that, for whatever reason, the running backs are out and there's one guy that gets brought up all the time? Because literally, he's like one of three guys who can carry the football.
It's incredible. Like, Ryan Held was so happy when we first spoke to him at the start of spring. He's like, I have all of my guys here. This is great. And then a week goes by and he suddenly has like two guys. And I mean, this is part of the thing. So I want to sort of temper my expectations for like what we're hearing with Yant and what we had heard with Irvin, is because we've seen two practices. In those two practices, Ramir Johnson was out for both. Savion Morrison was out for both. Ronald Tompkins played in the second one. He did not play in the first one that we watched. These were a week apart, I think. Gabe Irvin played in the first one. He did not play in the second one. Marquise Stepp is obviously out. So Stepp has been out for the whole spring. But for the other guys, it's possible that like the practices we saw were the only practices they've missed. Now, I think with like Johnson, that is maybe least likely. But for somebody like Irvin or for somebody like Tompkins, who just missed one of the two, like it's possible that they haven't been missing a ton of practices and you know, we're making a big hubbub of nothing. And, you know, to that point, Nebraska hasn't said a ton about what's going on in the running back room in terms of like availability for guys. That being said, one of the best, and I just wrote this at HailVarsity.com, one of the best abilities at the skill position is just availability. We saw this with Omar Manning a year ago. It's why you and I both felt a little bit more comfortable picking Samori Toure, because we think he's going to be there more often. Yant has, by all accounts, been there all spring. And this dude is not he's not a Brody Belt or a Wyatt Mazur kind of running back. All respect to those guys. Wyatt was awesome. Brody Belt did well in his spring that he had. Yant is 6'2", and Travis Fisher said he might be pushing 250 pounds. That is a big dude. And when we saw him, we just published a story on Monday morning, whatever this is. This is Monday morning, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Time is a flat circle, with a picture of Yant, and he looks like a big dude. He looks like a physically fit dude. And I think it was Sean Becton that said he came in last July out of shape. Doesn't look out of shape right now. So you've got all of that. They've been talking about him. They've been talking about, like, Greg Austin says, yeah, he will run our alignment over if we don't get out of the way, which is like maybe a good thing, maybe not a good thing. But then you look at you know, high school production. He had 583 yards as a senior, 908 yards as a junior. So he wasn't relied upon heavily like you would maybe expect to see from a guy that size at the high school level. He did have 10 touchdowns in both seasons. Maybe he's a guy that they feel can be like a goal line power back. maybe he's a guy they feel can be like a short yarded situation kind of back and not necessarily, you know, like a typical number two guy. Irvin, like I looked at this as well, true freshman production from running backs, unless you've got a guy, you know, what I found was that the five stars, the really highly rated running backs, they got a lot of opportunity, but opportunity didn't always translate to production. The five star guys that I looked at like 400 something running backs that have signed to Power Five schools over the last 5 years. Five star guys averaged something like 350 yards in their first season. Now they had more carries on average than four and three star guys, and obviously more yardage because they had more opportunity. But of the 25 best seasons amongst those true freshman running backs, I think only five of them came from top 100 recruits. Like you're just not going to get a ton of production from a first year running back. And particularly at Nebraska, Maurice Washington is the only one who has played a significant role as a true freshman. Marvin Scott had 24 carries for 62 yards last year. Now it was a weird year. They only played eight games as opposed to a typical 12, but the year before that, Ramir Johnson had 21 carries for 64 yards. So the last 2 years, they just haven't run their true freshman a ton. They had Dedrick Mills, so maybe that's the difference, but I'm not overly concerned about Marquis Stepp's health until we get to the summer and there continues to be problems. So for me, I think I might pick Yant.
Yeah. I like that pick. And I'll get into why here a little bit, because I look at both of these guys and that's kind of the key question for me. I'm like, okay, we've heard good things about both of them. Is one of these guys like capable of being Nebraska's, say, third leading rusher this year or second leading rusher? Or are we just kind of waiting for some like nagging injury stuff to work itself out and we've got a wide open battle? I think we'll have a wide open battle in the fall no matter what. And I do kind of think if that's what we're talking about, you mentioned the story you did on freshman running backs, definitely go check that out. That was a great deep dive into, it's always important. One of the things I try to do on this podcast regularly is just like set expectations. Like here's what's normal and, you know, adjust from there. If you expect something higher than that, why? If you expect something lower than that, why? With Yant, because he's a little bit more of a specialist. So you mentioned, you know, you can look at his numbers and know that, okay, he wasn't like, well, we ran the ball 60 times a game. And if he could handle 48 of those carries, we gave them to him. But the 20 touchdowns tell you that, you know, this was a guy who I don't think he overlapped with your first season. I get strong Imani Cross vibes from Yaquez Yant. Imani was a physical freak. He was from a small town in Georgia. He was like Nebraska's, I think, second or third back in whatever class he was in, but he was just there. He was like, he was up for whatever. There were times when Nebraska needed to lean on him. He had a huge run against Wisconsin, which shocked everybody because he's like 240 pounds and chiseled from stone. That's the kind of vibe I get from Ant. Like you can look at it, much less the photo that's on Hail Varsity this week. You can look at his bio picture on Huskers.com and just be like, oh yeah, that's a big dude.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got the connection with, he came from Travis Fisher's high school. Like clearly this was, I think, hey, we're going to take a shot on this guy because we think there might be something there. Ultimately, my pick would be Irvin, which is probably the more expected Ooh. One. I mean, he's the, you know, the four-star running back. He played at Buford in Georgia, which this was within the last two or three years. So maybe Gabe Irvin was even there. I was in the Atlanta airport getting ready to fly on a Friday to wherever Nebraska was playing that week. I don't remember. And the Buford High School football team like goes strolling by, like 60 guys all in their warmups, and I couldn't see the front of them. I was like, who is this? Because they look like an FCS team. It's a really high level of football. Like, we know that about Georgia, but Buford in particular has like steadily been going up in class size. So I think they want to, I think Irvin, in fact, won a state title at 4A, which is the third biggest, and then won it again at 5A last year. His numbers, first team all state in Georgia's no joke. So is he going to be Nebraska's primary ball carrier in 2021? No, I don't think so. I think that's a little bit of spring talk, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's very good. And it's been a little bit since Nebraska's truly hit on a running back. Like, I always seem to like the talent in that room. But since Amir Abdullah, it's hard to be like, oh yeah, that was a clear win.
I think some of my favorite Brandon Vogel stories are these stream of consciousness stories of when various football teams walk by you, because you're watching UCF in the Peach Bowl or whatever it was, and you see Auburn for the first time. That's one of my favorite all time stories. Just the reactions that you have and what goes through your head.
It usually spurs a lot. I'm usually somewhere, one of the gears in my brain is always turning on football. So when I'm presented with, like, hey, here's some football dudes, what do you think about that? It's hard not to have some sort of reaction. But yeah, Auburn looked really impressive in pregame warmups in that Peach Bowl.
UCF won that game, didn't they? And then UCF beat them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This entire spring for me, with regards to running back, has been an exercise in managing expectations, because how much do I want to believe, like, what is being said about Yant will translate, and Irvin too. They talked about Irvin a ton before, you know, we had that practice and he wasn't out there. How much of the talk will translate to opportunity in the fall? Because that's ultimately what it's about. At the same time, you know, my brain is like, okay, well, I mean, they can only talk about who's available to them. So, like, if a guy isn't practicing, they're not going to talk about him. So that's just so hard because we get such small windows into what's happening. So, you know, like, I think that this spring game will be super interesting in sort of setting the field for the running back competition. Who's going to play? If all of the guys are available minus Step and Yant still plays a big role, I think that signals something for the fall. If all of the guys are available and Irvin plays a big role and produces, I think that signals something as to where he stands in the room. If there are a few guys out, like, let's say, like, Savion Morrison is out and, like, Ramir Johnson is still out, and then, like, one of Ronald Tompkins and Marvin Scott is limited, then I think, you know, we kind of have to kick the can down the road a little bit as to, you know, deciding in our brains what's real and what's just spring ball fodder. Interesting. I was not expecting you to go with Gabe Irvin. Interesting. So I looked at 442 players, 62% of them had less than 100 yards rushing in their first year. But like the correlation between the best seasons and highly rated prospects was very, very weak. So could Gabe Irvin come in here and have a 1,000-yard AJ Dillon like season? That would be so cool for Nebraska if that happened. They need something nice to happen.
It really would. It would be good to, like, hit a clear no doubter bat flip home run with one of these recruits. You know, Nebraska's had some good ones and it's had some success and some guys that I'm really high on, but somebody like that where it's like 8 months ago, like, we knew the guy's name and we watched his huddle highlights and that's about it. And now here he is. He looks like one of the best players in the Big Ten. It's been a little bit since Nebraska's had one of those.
And the thing with Irvin too, he's 6'1", 190. I mean, he's not a small guy. Ronald Tompkins and Ramir Johnson, I believe, are both under 6 foot. Yep, they are. 5'11", 5'10". Scott's 5'9". Looks more like a bowling ball than sort of a every down kind of back. Like, Irvin's not a small guy. So if we're talking about Yant, sort of his physical stature, Irvin has a little bit of that to his game too.
Yeah, I think he does. And, you know, I think you're one thing that interests me about this spring game with the recruiting setup for it. So recruits can come, but that's like it. They can't talk to the coaches. They got to buy a ticket like everybody else. Can't tour the facilities. Like, does that put pressure on, not put pressure, does that incentivize Nebraska to like hold a little bit less back if you're trying to impress, you know, eight guys in the stands with what this offense can do? There's no obvious answer to that, but just something I'm wondering about as we get ready for the spring game.
Oh, that's absolutely my biggest question. How cagey are they going to be with their offense?
Yep. Because it's going to be televised, and we know from coaches all across the country, like, you know, major hesitation about putting that stuff on film, which I obviously by the tone of my voice don't buy. I do have one more pick one that I didn't ask you to prepare for. It's the most important one. Red or white?
I really thought you were going to go with red hot dog or Val's pizza. Red pants.
All red. They should do that for the spring game anyway.
Yep.
I've gone back and forth with this one. For a large portion of my life, while my high school is red, that's probably part of it. I'm also from Nebraska. I considered myself a red person. But if we're talking about just the football uniforms, I think I like the whites better. Particularly all white, which I know is get you in trouble here quickly, but
all white is a clean look. It needs to be red, red, and white, white.
I don't know if I'd go all red all the time, but I do want to, I would like to see it come out occasionally. I believe the last time, well, I shouldn't say that. It definitely happened in 1986 against Oklahoma. Nebraska got beat, and I don't recall seeing it since then. We've obviously seen the all whites at various points.
I am very matchy-matchy across the board, though. This is not just specific to Nebraska football. Like, I want you to wear the same color top as same color pants. So, like, the Oklahoma City Thunder, for a stretch there, would wear, like, blue uniforms with, instead of blue accessories, they would wear orange accessories, and it would always bother my kind of OCD-level brain.
You're a monochrome guy.
Yep. Big time.
I can dig it. Well, Derek, thanks for being the first ever guest on the IAD Preview podcast. I think we will wrap it here. Gave you a good about an hour. So that should get you from Omaha to Lincoln or from anywhere else. You may be coming to you for the spring game. It'll just be nice. Nice to have football back. Be sure to check out HailVarsity.com, of course, first and foremost. I know we'll have spring game coverage all throughout the week. I mentioned Greg Smith, our recruiting analyst. He already has a list up of expected visitors. And that'll be updated throughout the week. Derek's working on a series of some of the biggest storylines going into the game. We're hard at work on the May issue and the yearbook, which comes out in June. So subscribe now, get all of the premium content online, get those two magazines. They're going to be good ones. And then, of course, the ever-growing podcast network. Got some long-range plans in the works for that. But right now, after you get done with this, you can go back and listen to all of Derek's podcast, the Varsity Club podcast, the OG Hail Varsity podcast original. We've had Hail Varsity Radio for a long time. Check out Greg with Mind Your Own, Jacob Padilla, the Nebraska Preps podcast, and then Aaron and Sasha, of course, with Mind Your Own podcast. So plenty to listen to in the lead up to the spring game. Derek, thanks a lot for joining.
Longtime listener, honor to finally be on. Thank you.
A Huda Media Production.